Tim, we are back with the Friday bonus, the Friday shorty, the Friday.
Friday shorty.
Yeah. So you're getting over a
trachea cold. Yeah. Once you spend a whole week hanging out with about 65,000 of your favorite friends.
That's right.
Things rub off on you more than just knowledge and yeomanship. It's I should have wore a biohazard suit for a couple of days.
You should have.
It's like daycare.
I'm feeling better today.
But I've heard that you're a super spreader, according to your buddy Greg.
God, so. Yeah. You have one party during COVID that you shouldn't, and shit happens.
Yeah. Anyway, that third voice you hear, the chuckling and the input, is our friend Bob Baker up in Calgary.
Calgary. That's how the foreigner's saying it. Yes, it is. Calgary.
So anyway, from Calgary, it's Bob Baker, Baker Plumbing. How you doing, Bob?
I'm living the dream. You know it. Living the dream.
Still cold up there?
It's beautiful up here today. It's like plus 10. So whatever the hell that is.
Oh, that's
no. We've really sort of had crazy fluctuations. So
Bob, you're in your barn where you do the banter. The barn banter. And I'm looking at it. We can see you. And for some reason, I'm just getting the picture of like Jerry Jones sitting in his office because there's the star on that local. And it looks like it's a Dallas Cowboys.
No, we have no affiliation with the Cowboys. It's a local restaurant that we do up here. Okay. And,
it's not a Dallas Cowboys strip club, like an official.
In fact, no. I'm actually a Redskins fan, which I don't think I can say anymore. I do not follow the Commanders, so it's actually an old-fashioned Redskin strip club is what it is.
Oh, well, nice. He does got the flashing lights in the background. Yeah, so it does have that look and feel.
It looks pretty cool, though.
I keep waiting for some chickens to come flying by or something.
The chickens are just on the other side of this wall. Yeah, they're doing great.
All right, let's get right to point. This is a shorty. We got to make it short, right? But Tim and I were just at AHR, and the buzz is heat pumps this, heat pumps that, heat pumps electrification, and almost to a T, everyone we talked to on this podcast is like slow the roll here. Like we're moving too fast towards electrification. Can the grids handle it? Is it a good idea for the economy to just go to one fuel source instead of getting rid of natural gas? Things like that. So we thought we'd talk to my thoughts, not yours, author, Bob Baker.
An author? Opinion I should write a book, it. But yeah.
You should. But, you're very opinionated, and it's just interesting to have like a Canadian view. Like, is it different up there? Kind of tell us the mood.
The mood. So you're right. They're pushing it just as hard. In fact, harder up here. They just ended their heat pump giveaway. My fabulous Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said that we'll give you $10,000 for a heat pump and its installation. And they've decided that that's like the electrification is the way to go, which as everybody that knows that's not a paid actor into that system knows, it's impossible. Like we literally had, when it was minus 50 up here, just in the middle of January, we had a province-wide alert saying that lasted 6 hours, where they said, don't use any, like, don't plug in your car, don't turn on your electric stove, don't turn on your anything that takes basically 240 volts, because we're overmaxed the system and we could lose all the power in the province. And that was,
that's what they call a local brownout.
Yeah,
in my family,
to what happened in Texas.
Yeah. So they,
but in my household, that's in my bathroom. But we won't go there.
Okay. No comment on that. And so it's just like I don't understand. Well, I do understand. If you watch My Thoughts, Not Yours, the influencer thing drives me crazy. And it's sort of that Dunning-Kruger effect, which you guys can look up later that are listening to this. But the people that are pushing it are obviously the politicians and the guys that have vested interest in it. I don't know anybody that thinks it's a viable solution. And in fact, just north of Lloydminster, which is about 6 hours north of me, they are building like an $8 billion LNG plant. So on one hand, they're like, we're electrifying everything. Sort of on page six of the news, they're like, well, you know, we just got approved for this, you know, $8 billion LNG plant, which will supply, you know, Western Canada with its liquid natural gas needs. I'm like, so what's going on? Even the politicians now realize that it's fool's gold. And in our province, you know, we regularly spend, you know, probably anywhere between 8 to 10 weeks a year below minus 20. And you're going to, and those heat pumps quit working I don't know what the math is for Fahrenheit, but, you know, right around minus 5, they lose their effectiveness. Like they just, you need to switch over to combustion in order to keep warm. So
we know that we have geographic limitations, and I don't know why the politicians just don't say that. We've just got limitations. End of day.
It is. Well, and I feel
politicians like have this 800 word or not word page document that's thrown on their desk, and they're like, "What is it?" And they're like, "Oh, it's, you know, it's to save the environment." And they're like,
"The WEF paid for it." That's where that stuff comes from. Yeah. They all get it from Davos.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can call it, you know, you used to say that stuff, and it was a conspiracy theory, but now they're like, "Well, we realize that, but it's for the, you know, for the betterment of the planet." And I'm like, I call BS.
And I think we're all agreed that betterment of the planet's a good thing.
Yeah.
But let's just be realistic about how we do it, when we do it, and why we do it.
So, Bob, us Chongos went to Germany last year in Frankfurt. And
what's a Chongo?
It's a German word. You should look it up.
It's Bob's term and endearment for the people that go to trade shows. Anyway, we saw a lot of like hydrogen fuel boilers,
yes,
and like a hydrogen gas mix. Do you think that's something that's like a plausible
thing? Yeah, I do. Our provincial government anyway, has come out repeatedly and say this is our solution to sort of the quote unquote manufactured or not energy crisis. You know, I you guys remember, and I certainly do, because we're a very energy-rich province. Like, there were billboards and buses 4 or 5 years ago that said LNG is the solution, right? Like, this is, it's clean, it's, we can make it, it's local, it helps the economy, blah, blah, blah. And then, I don't know when that all switched, maybe just before COVID, where they're like, oh, no, it's, everything's got to be battery-powered. That's where it's going. And I do think, but... Mm. In the last couple of years, they are investing billions of dollars into hydrogen and its research and how we use it. I mean, it's a pretty explosive fuel, as you know. So there's some safety concerns with that, blah, blah. I mean, so was natural gas when it came out. Like, as you know, somebody dies probably every week from blowing themselves up with not knowing what they're doing with natural gas. But hydrogen's sort of this, I do think hydrogen is the wave of the future. It's just not backed by, frankly, you know, the Davos people or the cobalt people, the making the batteries and all the rest of that stuff that allow it to sort of get any real traction. But it looks super promising. And if you guys saw it there, my experience is, you know, sort of the European countries are, you know, 5 or 6 years ahead of us in technology. They make these fabulous things. Mm-hmm. They've had tankless, you know, the Renais and, you know, all that sort of stuff was being innovated 20 years ago out there. And then 10 years ago, they show up and we're all like, oh, it's the greatest thing in the world. And every European dude's like, yeah, dude, I'm on version 4 in my house. Welcome to the future, jackass. Yeah,
for sure. So when I think of Calgary, and maybe I'm wrong because I've never been there, but I think of like Expanse, like the, you know, Montana, you know, it's a big sky country, you know. What about like propane? Is that something that's viable up there?
There's lots of propane. In fact, my barn is heated by propane. I've got four 400-pound tanks just on the outside. Because our natural gas is so prevalent and it sort of is within our infrastructure. The only places that we see propane is sort of closer to the Rocky Mountains because it's harder to trench it in, and in sort of remote cabins where it's like, we'll run a line to you, but it's $60,000, or you for $2,000 a year, we'll rent you a propane tank, which is why, I mean, for me to trench my own line from my house down to here was like $6,000, or I rent a propane tank for $800 a year. I'm like, yeah, I think I'll just do the propane tank. Thank you very much.
Bob, are any of your customers asking for any of these energy or eco-friendly systems, or?
None of them. Like, because, I mean, up here, it's mandated that every furnace be 98% efficient. Like, they have the EMC motors, they have, you know, the double exchangers and all the rest of that stuff. So there's, like, it's as efficient as it's going to get. and we, I have never personally installed a heat pump. I've worked on several of them, and most of them get mothballed in 5 or 6 years because it's not worth the investment anymore to say every year you got to pay Bob Baker $7,000 to keep it alive. Like, where's all your, and that's what the politicians don't talk about. Great. Here's your $10,000 thing. You're going to have to pay Bob Baker or somebody like him, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 a year to keep it alive and keep it running, especially when it's minus, you know, when it's minus 50 for 6 days, like your entire house is destroyed. Every pipe's frozen. Every fixer's frozen. It's crazy.
I want to go back to your propane. How big is the tank at the barn?
I have 4 400 pounders. So I have 1200 pounds of propane.
Okay. And so how long would that last you?
It lasts me a whole year.
But you're not living in
I'm not living in this space.
I mean, you do heat it.
Yeah, I keep it at like 5 degrees. So it doesn't freeze up here, or and my stuff down in the barn doesn't freeze. Yeah. And then when I'm in the barn, you know, doing my thing, I turn it up to 18 for a couple of hours and then carry on with my day.
And that's Kelvin? What are we talking about? Celsius?
Celsius. Just I have a hard enough time flipping into Fahrenheit. I have no idea what it is in Kelvin.
I know. So I was just curious about that. How long, like, that those tanks last for?
So you can get the 1,000 pounders, which are the big long ones that we see all over the place, sort of southeast of me towards Pincher Creek, and their little because it's quite rocky out there, and they have it's mostly trailers and, you know, like hunting cabins and the like. And it's sort of the same thing. When you're there, you want it at 20, but when you leave, you turn it down to 5 and just sort of keep everything warm. But those 1,000 pounders, you would have to fill up 3 or 4 times a year. You know, it costs me $700 to fill up my tanks once a year. So it's not unreasonable at all.
Yeah.
And my own electric bill has gone up 3 times. I paid last month I paid $700 for my electrical. And my gas in the middle of winter is $155. And I don't have, I have a gas stove, I have a gas boiler, I have a gas dryer. Like, the only thing I'm turning on are my sort of yard lights. I do heat, you know, I do have 240 volt heaters for my chickens and my goats so that they don't freeze to death. But that is it. So it costs me, you know, $700 a month over the winter to keep my chickens warm. It's craziness. Cause there's nothing else that I have that's draws any significant power. We do have some welders and stuff in the shop,
and they better be laying a lot of damn eggs.
Yes, it's. I mean, I won't lie to you. It's not economically viable. It's more for the experience, I guess. And when the grid actually goes down, you know, we all return to the agrarian society that we dread so much. I'll have eggs.
We have food. You'll have.
I'll have eggs.
So, Bob, here's a million dollar question to wrap this up. If you were a politician or the prime minister, I mean, what would you be saying about the fuel choices? Would you just leave it the way it's always been and just have the customer choose? Or, I mean, obviously there's a reason, like we said, it's to save the planet, to go, you know, to reduce carbon emissions and to, you know, that's all great, but there has to be a responsible way to do it.
That's the thing that, like you say, if I was a politician and could avoid being bought off, because that, I think that's the problem. is that if I become the prime minister and Tim comes to me and says, dude, this is the pro, I need you to push Mechanical Hub and I'll give you $1 million a year to promote us everywhere. I'd be like, all right. And all I have to say it is like, you know, there's some contractual agreement. I have to say it 4 times a month. All right, cool. I mean, I think that's what it is. It's become politicized. There's no way that creating those batteries and dealing with those, like, we don't even know what it costs to rid ourselves of batteries once they've sort of gone through their life cycle. What is the carbon footprint of creating those batteries? It's astronomical. And they don't put that into their, you know, they're just like, here's the product with, and this is when it starts producing carbon. Now, what about the manufacturing process or the disposal process? Well, we're not worried about that. We're just worried about the metal. So if I was a politician and could sort of keep my, you know, bearings, then I would say it's natural gas, LNG, hydrogen, and frankly, probably nuclear. If in some of those big cities that you guys deal with, that, you know, Toronto or Chicago or whatever, because they've made some amazing advancements in that. Of course, everything's got a downside. And so the fact that the politicians in my country and yours are saying this is the bulletproof solution tells me that they're lying or paid for, because there's no bulletproof solution. Everything has got a downside, right?
I'd agree with that. And I would say if you're in certain areas of North America or you're in the Southwest, and there's solar that comes in handy occasionally.
Yeah. Well, they've done studies up here. When it was like, when it's minus 50 or minus, oh, sorry, when it hits minus 30, solar is out, because they, even if it, because we're in Canada and our angle is whatever, like, the angle of refraction or reflection, I don't know what it is, hits that solar, it doesn't heat it up enough to make any difference. Wind dies because, as you know, in Alberta, our windmills are heated, and they're heated with diesel engines, so they don't freeze to death when it's minus 40.
Yeah,
and so they just the equation no longer makes sense when it's minus 40 to try and keep them warm.
You know how dumb that sounds,
dude. Yeah. That's what nobody says. Like, every one of those stupid windmills has a diesel heater in it. And they, when it hits minus 30, they just shut it off because the math no longer makes sense to heat them. And it's like a negative for the energy they produce. And so,
hey, real quick, I'm not like fluent on parliament in Canada. How long is the term is it a lifetime term?
Yeah, we do not have we don't have the 8-year limit that you guys have down there. You can stay in power as long as you're elected. I will say no prime minister has lasted 3 terms. They've only lasted 2 until they F everything up and everybody hates them and they get punted out.
Because I say this because, you know, this year we have 2 chongos.
You do have some chongos.
And so I say that endearingly to both sides because the choice is really not, I don't know how many people are in this country. 400 million, and these are the 2 chongos we got.
We allow it, John. We allow it. That's the insane part. We allow a two-party system.
I know. That's the stupid thing. But we could go back to, you know, all these regulations set forward. We could be moving, and then, you know, someone gets in and they say, you know what, we're going to not do this and we're going to go this way. And it's like, it's like a yo-yo, you know?
No, you see it. You know, we have a 5-party system here in Canada. I don't know if you know that. So we have our Liberals, Conservatives. We have the NDP, which is sort of more supposed to be more socialist. We have our Green Party, and then we have our Quebec Party, which is the Bloc Québécois that votes anything that's advantageous for Quebec, they vote for. Anything that's good for Canada, F you. What it is. It sort of wheedles down our vote so that, like, Justin Trudeau in his last election won what's called the minority government with like 22% of the vote. And the NDP says, listen, if you pay us, we'll vote for you. I mean, that's, you know, cutting through all the bullshit. They're like, we'll side with you as long as you fund our shit. And so that's, they've got like 35% of the vote. The conservatives have 33% of the vote. and the rest of it. So there's like, you know, whatever that math, it's 35% of people that are voting for these three other parties that don't. So it's, I don't know, you know, I agree with the two party system is difficult, but I'm not sure adding more votes to, you know, adding more parties, like it's sort of, my experience is the right just gets the right side of things gets whittled down because everybody's like, well, we need to be extreme right or middle right or just off left type of thing. And so that splits it. And everybody that's left sort of votes the same way is my experience. So it's a mess. And like our idiot is an idiot and he's clearly paid for. He just is. Okay.
You're getting banned.
I don't think I am. 70% of the country says that he should just quit because everybody hates him.
But actually, Saskatchewan, they don't like Trudeau doesn't really care about Saskatchewan, does he?
The only that's part of our Canada's problem is nobody cares about any province except Ontario and Quebec because that's where there's 40 million people in Canada, and like 33 million live in Ontario and Quebec. And so there's five.
You know what the irony, though, of this conversation? You know what Saskatchewan does have?
What do they have?
Oil.
Listen. No? Yes, they do. They got a ton of it. We have more. If you look at the thing, like there's like China, Saudi Arabia, and then Canada as far as oil-rich countries. Yeah. Like we're three or four, and 95% of the oil is Alberta and Saskatchewan is where it is. And, and you know, sort of like what Biden did, Trudeau showed up and said, we're not doing any more oil wells. We're not exploring anymore. We're just cutting it off. And so it killed the industry up here. I think I was saying to you privately that the oil companies here have just said, you know what? It's obvious Trudeau's out. We're just going to do what we know we need to do. Screw it. We're going to make money. You can fine us if you want. By the time that all comes to court, there'll be a new parliament and a new prime minister who will be friendly to us and it'll all just go away. So they're making a business decision against the federal government because they know they're on their way out and they know there's billions of dollars to be made in the energy industry because it's needed. So it's a mad world.
It's just gonna get madder and like what?
Well, you guys, it's gonna be crazy for you guys. I was talking to someone the other day. I said, you know, are you thinking about going to the States in the fall? I'm like, dude, it's gonna be a war zone down there. Like, if you go to the East Coast,
could be
like there or California. I'm probably anywhere. Like, it's gonna be so fractured that it'll be terrifying. I think, and I'm not predicting gloom and gloom, but there's a lot of strongly opinionated people on where things should go. So it'll be dicey.
All right, Bob. Thanks for jumping on the Friday shorter. We appreciate it. It was a good conversation. I got to say it was very informative and the debate continues, right? Like it's just
the debate continues. Let me leave you with a quote from George Bernard Shaw. Go ahead, Tim.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, George Bernard Shaw said, if you're going to speak truth, you better make them laugh or they will kill you. And that's sort of my experience online is you say things that are true and people freak out. So you try and add a little humor to it. So they're like, oh, you're joking? Well, I'm not, but it's the truth. And if you could, you would kill me.
Yeah.
It's a good mantra to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you again, Bob. Thanks for, I know you're busy today.
Have a good weekend.
Has it gotten warmer up there?
Yeah, no, it's quite, it went from minus 50 to plus 10 in like basically 48 hours. So all of our equipment that was frozen is now leaking and broken. And it's a very,
so now you got that stuff to work on.
It never ends, man. It never ends, which is good. It's a good, I tell everybody the trades are the way to go. It absolutely is. And what you guys do in promoting
absolutely.
Is fantastic. Keep it up.
Well, thanks, Bob. We appreciate you.
You betcha.
Keep the opinions coming.
Yeah. We'll talk to you next time.
No shortage on that, my friends. Have an excellent day. Good luck.
Thanks, Bob.